and a major victory today at the U.S. Supreme Court for gay and transgender civil rights. The court ruling that firing someone for sexual orientation or gender identity violates federal law.
It was a 6-3 decision, and Justice Neil Gorsuch, nominated by President Trump, wrote the majority opinion arguing that an individual's homosexuality or transgender status is not relevant to employment decisions. Joining us now is Dahlia Lithwick, who writes about the courts and the law for Slate and hosts the podcast Amicus. Dahlia, this decision involves a number of separate cases concerning the Civil Rights Act of 1964. It applies to both sexual orientation and gender identity. How big of a deal is this, and what did the court decide exactly?
It's a huge deal, Jeremy. I think this will go down as a really landmark gay rights case. And I think that for about half the states that did not afford civil rights protections to transgender and gay workers, this is an insurance policy that they cannot be fired. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act from 1964 had barred discrimination, quote, because of sex. Now that sweeps in gay and transgender workers for the first time, even though the language doesn't explicitly say that and Congress never explicitly said it. Now they're protected.
Now, we mentioned that Justice Gorsuch wrote the majority opinion. He was joined by Chief Justice John Roberts, as well as all of the liberals on the court. It's interesting that this was a 6-3 decision when the same-sex marriage decision 5 years ago was a 5-4 decision, different court. But still, was it a surprise that there was this lineup on the court in this case?
I think Gorsuch was a little bit less of a surprise. If you listen to oral arguments, he seemed to have a lot of solicitude for the arguments that were being advanced. Although, again, I think he's held himself out as a strict textualist. So it's a little confusing that he's kind of jumped over to this language of, even though the drafters didn't say it, we kind of think they meant it. I think you're quite right. John Roberts was a huge surprise. He dissented in Obergefell, the gay marriage case. So the fact that he has jumped over to join Gorsuch and the liberals shows that something has really profoundly changed for him.
We spoke with the LGBT civil rights organization CEO, Lambda Legal CEO today, who said this is a bigger deal than Obergefell Hodges because while not every gay couple is going to get married, they all need a job. And so this really does affect a lot of people. What about the dissent here, Dahlia? What was the reasoning for the dissent by the conservative justices, Thomas Alito, who was the third one that was on the
dissent? Brett Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh, of course, right. Brett Kavanaugh. What was the reasoning there?
There were two separate dissents, Jeremy. Justice Alito wrote for himself and Clarence Thomas. He had a 54-page dissent, and he essentially just said, quote, there is only one word for what the court has done today, legislation. He made the argument that the court was inventing new law and kind of imposing it onto the existing language of the Civil Rights Act. He also tacked on an appendix featuring 11 pages of dictionary definitions of the word, quote, sex. Kavanaugh wrote a gentler version of that dissent. He conceded that the policy arguments to protect gay and transgender workers under Title VII were, quote, weighty, but then he went on to say, quote, we are judges, not members of Congress, essentially saying Congress needed to change this, not us.
I want to ask you about something else the court did today. It declined to look at the issue of qualified immunity, a legal doctrine that's used to shield police from lawsuits, also a very big topic right now on Capitol Hill. What did the court say today about that?
Yeah, this is a decades-old line of cases that protects police officers and other government officials from any personal liability unless they violate what's called a, quote, clearly established right. That's such a high standard, Jeremy. It's almost never met. I think there was a hope that in light of what we've seen in recent weeks with George Floyd and other acts of police abuse, that the court might be willing to revisit that. Today, the court made clear that even though Justices Sotomayor and Ginsburg have suggested it's time to revisit it, it's not happening today.
Okay, and just briefly, what is still left in the pipeline from the Supreme Court over the coming weeks?
Oh, all the big stuff. We've got DACA, which was rescinded, which will affect Dreamers across the country. We've got the June medical abortion challenge that questions whether whole women's health is still good law. We've got the Trump financial records monster blockbuster cases to come. All of that and more in the coming weeks.
And we will be following it along with you, Dahlia Lithwick, who writes about the courts and the law for Slate and hosts the podcast Amicus. Thanks as always.
Thank you for having me.